Aloha mai kakou, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Moana Nui podcast, sponsored by Papa Ola Lokahi. My name is Moana McAdams, and I am tonight's host as we continue our Ola Aloha Hawaii month, or our Hawaiian language month series. And tonight's topic is aloha. And this one word is simple, yet deep in meaning. However, not everybody understands what it really means, and oftentimes it gets misused for, shall we say, selfish purposes, which is kind of like the opposite meaning of what aloha is. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I am really honored to have the guests who are joining us tonight. I'm going to bring them on. One of our guests might be running late tonight, but we will welcome him in whenever he's ready. My first guest is my tita, my friend, my hoa. Really excited to have her back on the show. She has been on a couple of different conversations with us, and we're excited to invite her back from Oregon. Her name is Lealoha Kaula, and she is a kumuhula, an educator, a cultural community leader, a devoted daughter, a mother, essentially like an inspiration to a lot of people around her, including myself. Her values that she loves to live by is ha'aha'a, which is humility, ohana, and aloha, which is the topic of tonight's conversation. So she was born on the island of Oahu to a family of cultural historians and teachers, and she continues to perpetuate and share the mana'o that she learned from her ohana with all of us today. So welcome, Lealoha, to our show. Aloha, sis.
Aloha.
All right. Our second guest tonight is Kamaka Kehau Fernandez. Some of you might know him. He is such an amazing performer, singer. He has this magical voice that everybody just, it's so ono, it's his voice. He was born in Little Rock, Arkansas. Ooh, sorry, never mind my alarm. But he was adopted by his makuahine, and brought to the shores of Hawaii, raised in a Hawaiian family, and educated in our Hawaiian immersion schools. And today he is a wonderful, wonderful, just wonderful musician, guys. If you have not checked out, like later on after this, you can go to our YouTube channel and look up his name. We've had him on before, and he even sang for us that time. But you can look him up online, and there's just so much information and so much performances that he has done, and I think you guys will fall in love. He is a Nahoku Hoku Hano Hano Music Award winner, and I'm sure he's behind there being like, oh my gosh, stop it already. But we want to welcome Kamaka Kehau to the show. Aloha.
Hi, aloha kakou. Mahalo.
Yes. Alrighty. So tonight, in order to open our panel and our conversation, I asked Lealoha to lead us with e ho mai. So I'm going to pass it over to her.
Yeah, mahalo, mahalo. And just to bring us into this space, connect us to all across, from Hawaii, one side of Hawaii, all the way to Washington, D.C., where Moana is, just to connect us, to bring us in this space. So e ho mai. Yep, yeah, no.
Ai he mai luna mai e
Ona mea una no e ona mele e o mai e o mai e o mai e.
Mahalo. Mahalo, tita. Alrighty, so as I mentioned, our topic tonight is aloha. And depending on which context and which audience and where you are, the use of this word is applied in a lot of different ways. And so I wanted to really delve into that tonight, you know, to talk about the cultural importance of it and how it has evolved over time. So I think to set the stage and to just kind of get things started, I just wanted to ask each of you, what does aloha mean to you, and how is it expressed beyond like just a simple greeting? Because some people think it's just like, oh, it just means hello and goodbye, right? So what does that mean for you? Kamaka Kehau, you want to get us started?
Sure. Well, you know, like you say, it really does have so much context to it. I mean, the simple term for me and the way I utilize that in my life is that it is a way of being. You know, we live aloha rather than, I mean, and in addition to the ha of aloha, right? And so if we break this word down, alo is your face, and ha is that breath of life, yeah? So it is a way of us introducing our ancestors from one to the other. And this is what I've been taught since I was kamali'i, since I was young. And later on in my life, I was just, you know how you just go on through life and all of a sudden something might happen that leads up to this particular moment. And so for me, it was understanding who Anake Pilahipaki, who she is, who she was, and how she made that, how she made that known. And I think this has become very well known throughout the Kayaulu, throughout the community and the far, on the acronym that it stands for as well. And so that acronym makes it a way of being, which is kindness, that e akahai, the lokahi, unity, olu olu, to be pleasant, ha'aha'a, to be humble, and ahonui, to be patient. And so when you have that concepts in your mind, then that helps to pretty much navigate your life, right, into that form of the way of being. So, oyaka'u mana'o.
Mahalo. How about you, Leloha? Because I know ha'aha'a is a big one for you. So, what are your thoughts about aloha?
You know, like no like me kamaka. My thoughts are very similar with kamaka. Aloha isn't just a meaning. It's a being. It's who we are. It's breaking down the word as he does, but ha, right? It's our breath. Like, so everything that we are, especially as Kanaka, we are aloha. And for me, aloha really, ha, is very present in that space. And I think when we carry ourselves with the acronyms that was shared and really embody that mana'o of aloha, then that is the way that we present ourselves. And I think something that's beautiful, especially living in the diaspora, aloha is so used to make you feel cultured. Like, if I can say aloha, then I feel cultured, right? I can tell you aloha. And it's so interesting because in the spaces that I say aloha when I greet someone, I say aloha when I'm leaving, and it's just very common. And it's interesting here because when you say aloha, everybody's like, oh, aloha. Like, they make a gesture, which is interesting. But for me, it's like, this is common. This is who we are. Yeah, that's what aloha means. And aloha means that whenever we show up into space, we are mindful of who we bring with us. Yeah. What alahele has been laid before us before we've even been in that space. And I think that's what aloha really is. It's a constant reminder of who we represent.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful and I like how you phrased it when you said, like, it makes others feel like culture, like, oh, I'm in. They kind of make it like a trend, you know, like, oh, it's trendy to be aloha or to associate yourself with a Hawaiian word. So, yes, a huge part of aloha is the humility piece. But I've seen and even experienced myself where some people can take that humility for weakness and kind of use that against you. So when, and I would say that, at least in my mind, there's two sides of aloha. There's the hina energy, which is what the one that people naturally see because it's the welcoming, all of that piece. But what about the more ku side? And like, for me, that's like the more protection piece. Like, yeah, we are welcome, but we also, you know, like, we protect what is important to us too. So what are you guys' thoughts on that? And have you experienced where people have taken your aloha for granted, maybe? Sika maka.
So, yeah. you know, there's very much of that. And it's, you know, because we're so ma'atu, just the aloha mention, people expect that of you all the time, right? Like, you know, boundaries, or you don't have, you know, and there's different, like you say, Mona, you know, there's different ways to, and spectrums on how you view aloha, because aloha can be a loving, aloha can be humility, and aloha can be stern. Right. When we need to learn our lessons, right, in life. So or like when we, for instance, like when we, there was an event that happened, and I'm not going to go too into detail, but just to preference it. And I told somebody no. And they were like, oh, what kind of aloha is that? Where's your aloha in there? Right. I'm like, oh, the aloha still lives. Yeah. The aloha is still there. But I am sharing with you that this is, you know, like I said, the boundary, right? And, you know, I disagree with, you know, the decision that someone else made on my behalf, you know? So it's situations like that, you know, but the aloha will always be there. The aloha is always there, but there's a time and a place.
Okay. Le aloha pehe ko manao.
Similar, because I think aloha is always, aloha is used in so many different contexts, right? But it's always interesting that when you have to put up boundaries or you didn't do something that the way that somebody wanted you to, or it's just not meaning there. Oh, where's your aloha? Like, oh, it's just like, oh, the aloha's still there. It's just because you're not happy with it. Now I don't have aloha because it doesn't fit in your box. It doesn't fit, like, I don't fit the way that you wanted me to. Now I don't have aloha. And so, and I think that's where people often get very confused with aloha. And aloha, just like what Kamaka said, aloha is aloha is loving, aloha is strict, aloha is stern. There's so many, but it's always interesting when people, they pull the aloha card when it's convenient to them.
Yeah, I definitely have seen that. And I think that's a huge part of the struggle of the way Hawaii has been commercialized, right? As this paradise, this place where I come and everybody must serve me with aloha. But there's that reciprocity, right? Like, to be served with aloha, you must give aloha, right? And that's the piece I feel like we have, not just us as a community, but those who are involved in the tourism industry. Like, we have Kuleana to educate people on what that really means. And it's not just hospitality, you're going to treat us like a doormat, but we will have aloha for you, but you must come in, you know, with that respect and everything. So, yeah, I do find it interesting, you know, when you talk to people, I think especially now, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I mean, obviously, people always ask me about Hawaii and visiting, but at least those who are somewhat in one ring of my circle, you know, they ask more thoughtful questions now about like how to do it, how to visit. Is it, are we welcome? Is, you know, is, for lack of words, is aloha still there, or should they just stay away? How would you guys respond to kind of that question and inquiry? Especially you, Kamaka Kehao, because you, you know, as an entertainer, you operate in a lot of these spaces. How do you educate, you know, the visitors of Malihini who you encounter in your daily life?
No, this is a bit surreal right now, because just so happened my aunt shared a video with me on my Uncle Clifford Naiole on Maui. He's actually the culture advisor there. Puts on this event called the Celebration of the Arts, but he and Aaron Salah were in interview together, and you know, he works in that field in the hotel industry, and I was inspired, you know, by what he said as to how we teach, and you know, because it's so commercialized, you think of a hotel or for entertainment, you think of it's entertainment, right? Flash and show. The ways that I utilize it, just as Uncle shared in that particular interview piece, was putting it amongst, like, on the walls. Everything tells a story. It's the stories that keep the culture alive. It's the olelo. You know, we are in Hawaiian Language Month, where it's celebrated. But personally, as a language student, and I'm sure Le'aloha can agree as well, is, I mean, it's 24/7 for us, right? Le'aloha Hawaii as much as we can. But it is through those stories, it is through the language and the music. And when I have the opportunity, you know, it's, and some people might have a different view on this. Here's a perfect example. I frequent Coco Head. When I go hiking and I do all of that stuff, and just so happened there were a bunch of students up there. I had no idea who they were. But when I go up to this little hill, it was early in the morning, sunrise. I like to do my protocols, the Eho Mais, the Eala'e. And it is a sacred cultured practice, but something was like nudging me, like, you know, and these people were from Romania. So we had a sense of culture as well, a bit. But I took that opportunity to teach them, you know, and tell them the significance and allow them to enjoy or join me in that experience. Because I felt a little hila hila. I was a little shy, like, oh man, if I start doing this now, maybe people are going to laugh at me or to like, who's this guy, right? And especially, you know, and I shared this in my interview, I don't necessarily visually looked apart until I opened my mouth, right, and start to speak. Then people are like, oh, okay, this guy is from somewhere. But you know, it's opportunities like that, you know, when you know that you have that gift. And my view, personal view, is that I've been blessed with this ike, and not to share it for myself. There's a big mo'olelo, a big story within it, bigger than me. And so if I can just teach one person the beauty of Hawaii and its people, then I'm going to take that opportunity to do that. So whatever you know, and being proud of who you are and your culture and what you know, and just go out and share. Go out and share and educate.
I love that. Yeah, your segment was so beautiful. And I reposted it on my Instagram, and I just got so much aloha and so much messages, even the private. Like, well, what a wonderful story. Can I share it? Please do. This is what we want. So Le'aloha, let's, you know, given the importance into our language, how does Hawaiian language, Olelo Hawaii, and our chants incorporate the concept of aloha?
You know, I think Kamaka shared a little bit about that too, right? So our language, our chants, it's what we live, right? Olelo Hawaii. How does aloha exist in that? Aloha is in those moments of sharing. Aloha is in the humility of remembering that what we have, our language, you know, what we, this ike that we are very privileged to, and I share this often, right? Especially living here on the continent, get to have a different conversation often. And I always get to I always tell like my homeowner or people that I'm in space, I'm very privileged to have grown up in a very Hawaiian space to Olelo Hawaii during that time that Olelo Hawaii was not. Today, I love going home today because Olelo Hawaii is everywhere. And Kamaka knows this. When we was going to Hawaiian Emergency Schools, that was not the case. We were still frowned upon, even all those years later. And so we're so proud of that. And so aloha exists in all of that because it's the way that we share it. How we are able to bring all of this forward. How, you know, eho mai, like just what Kamaka was sharing, right? This opportunity to be able to pass on our aloha. It's not just the opportunity to share, but those visitors, those malihini, got to really feel what aloha, like to have this personal space with someone. That's that aloha. And I think that's what exists in our language and our chants, that gives us those opportunities to have those moments of sharing aloha, you know, especially and all wherever we are, no matter where we go, when you can share the translation of a word, or you can share the mo'olelo of something, that's aloha. That's all part of it. Like it just, and I think that's how it incorporates it. Aloha is Hawaiian language and chant. Aloha is the culture. So whatever we do that is Hawaii is aloha.
Maikai, yeah. And as someone, like for me, I totally agree. Like when it was Keiki, you didn't see Olelo Hawaii a lot. It was still a lot of the traumatized from colonization and our parents being punished, essentially. Parents, grandparents, all of that. And so, like, I wasn't in immersion school at the time. I didn't even know that we had immersion school on Kauai. But I always wanted to learn because my tutu spoke Olelo in the hale. And I was like, man, I wish I could understand her because she was, like, fluent. Like, English was, like, once in a while, you'd catch the English coming out. But, you know, you could still understand what she was trying to say. But, yeah, so I always appreciate. The last time I was home, I was on Molokai, which is like even better, yeah. Smaller community. And I was like, wow, everybody's speaking Hawaiian. This is amazing, you know? And so it encourages me to see our community embracing our language again and to see it grow. But Kamaka Kehau brought up something. Even when he was with the Malihini, he still felt a little bit hila-hila or a little bit shame, right? And I resonate with that because I remember when I was at home one time, I was in Wailua and I was doing, shucks, the name of the chant, the entrance chant is, I'm blanking right now, help me out, sis.
Kuni.
Yes, mahalo nui, mahalo, see, even my aloha is not working right now. But I was doing my own little small kunihi kamana, and it's the place, right? Like, it's where the chant was originated, and is a place where the malihini come. And I guess I didn't hear them coming behind me, but after I was done, after I was pau, they're like, oh, what was that that you were doing? And I explained a little bit, but I felt a little bit hila hila too, you know, like, well, I don't want to explain. I just want to have, you know, my experience here and feel, share the space with my ancestors and this wahi. But so like, for those who want to practice their aloha, their language, but do feel that hila hila, how can we encourage them? Like, what would you guys say to somebody who was feeling like maybe they're not good enough to do it or anything like that? What would you guys say?
I know. Don't. Don't feel that way. Nah. But. No, I mean, it does come down to that. I mean, we are human. We have those mm-hmm. moments. And there are those times, like you say, you just want to have that personable moment for yourself, right? What came through my mind as soon as you said that is na'au. Yeah, what is your na'au saying, right? And then also figuring out what's the underlying issue too of why you may be feeling that. I often have to do that is reflect on, oh, why am I maybe triggered by this particular thing, right? Where is this coming from? And so that would kind of be my little pai pai, as we say, my little encouragement is to find
find those reasons and find the resource. Seek your mentors, because that will be a big kako'o to your journey, right? And in the moment of time, you know, find the strength to just be proud. And I mean, there's so much unlimited resources out there. And oftentimes people, they tell me this, is like, man, you know, and more Hawaiian than me. And, you know, some mocking shame and this and that. And I get it. But at the same time, it's my response to that usually is, well, you know, I wish they would say, I wish I knew Hawaiian language. I said, well, it's never too late. There's so much, like I said, unlimited resources out there, to where if you take the time and dedicate yourself to it, if that's what you really want to do, right, then you're gonna find that reason to holomua. So that would be literally my take there.
Yeah, no, mahalo. That's great advice. Anything you would add to that, Lealoha?
Aole, kamako is maika'i.
Yeah, I think, like, because I hear this a lot, especially, believe it or not, when I ask people to come on this show, and they're like, oh, I don't know, am I good enough? Like, I'm looking at the people that you have on on the podcast, and like, I don't know if I'm good enough. I'm like, you get koko, right? Like, you kanaka, you're part of the community, then your voice is important, right? And I guess I would like also say that, like, it's all a part of our journey. Like, trust me, I never like start this thing. I don't like being in front of the camera either, but it's just, once you get ma'a, yeah, you just get used to it. You practice and it becomes like second nature, just like writing a name. And you just, you get used to it. So mahalo for that, you guys, because I do feel like there's still a lot of uplifting. And I think some of it too is part of the ha-ha, right? Like we are humble, and so we don't normally put ourselves forward. But that's part of the aloha that we have to give ourselves to, is to encourage one another to share, because it is all of our kuleana. If we are kanaka, it is part of our kuleana, and we manifest it in whatever way is meant for each and every one of us. And it doesn't always look the same, but our voices and our leo are definitely important to our community. Let's see. So, Kamaka Kehawa, I'll go back to you. How, we talked a little bit, but like, how do you incorporate aloha into your music? Like the songs you write, or when you're putting together like your shows and you're performing, how does aloha guide the messages that you share with people who you come into contact with?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh my,
that's all. That's safe. Drive safe.
I think I got most of it. How do I get it? How do I incorporate it into my music? Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay. So, well, first of all, I think it's the root of it is, and I'm not perfect, right, or anything, but. I think the root of it is really just continuously practicing, you know, and living through the lessons that I've learned. Obviously, yeah, rehearsal. But what I mean is really living in what you're preaching, basically. Mm-hmm. And then through that, I did mention a little bit about mentorship. A lot of the songs that I've composed, you know, in the very beginning, in my opinion, it was very basic on aloha Hawaii. until I sought that mentorship from one of my kumu, who, you know, happened to be in the, her brothers were very, I don't know if you guys remember, we call the group Lava'i'a.
Oh, yes.
Old school group. Yeah, Lava'i'a. So, My teacher's brothers were that was their band. And so she taught me how to be a little bit more kauna, as we say, right? To be a little more poetic in the way that we compose. Yeah. And always find ways to enhance enhance, whether it's enhancing my olelo, it's enhancing even just the strum of the ukulele. It's a Hawaiian way, Hawaiian way. So that would be my practice. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that mentorship is definitely important in all things. And I know, Le'aloha, you deal with a lot of our youth and empowering them. And, you know, that is part of our aloha, is to take care of the next generation. You know, what are their experiences, especially living on the continent? How do they live and breathe aloha, you know, in your hui and the community that you serve?
You know, I think first we got to recognize that they live away from Hawaii. Many of them are born and raised here. And so at home, aloha is, we are living it. And aloha is the calling everybody auntie and uncle. Aloha is if you in long strugs and you're running around and you're not supposed to be doing that, uncle going to scold you. Aloha is you went someplace and you're short one quarter and auntie come behind. It's all of those things, right? And those aren't very commonly seen here on the continent. And so a lot of it, how we had to teach aloha, which is such a different concept. But like, how do you teach how to be aloha, right? And it goes with what Kamaka, it's the mentorship. It's the role model. It's the alahele that you're laying forth, right, for our youth and for just like our kupunas have laid the same path for us, right, so that we are able to be guided. And so for our youth, it's a little bit different, where they have to navigate in a space where people still have this idea of aloha in a media sense, you know. And when you try to offer your aloha, it means something so different up here. So, but how we do it is by, like, this is the example. We have to truly manifest exactly what was being said by Kamaka and remember our teachings of home and bring it here to teach our youth. And how they do it is exactly what was said. It's a constant practice. This isn't, we live and breathe aloha. And what does that mean? And how do they influence the work? It's that they have to carry aloha the way that we do. They have to, you know, all of our hamana, they learn, what does aloha mean? What's the two-part word? That's exactly what Kamaka was saying earlier. Let's break down this word. And, you know, I'm very proud when our hamana and or our youth or our community is able to have that conversation. Because when people ask me, oh, what does aloha mean? As a poe o Hawaii, I go, oh, well, aloha is a two-part word, right? We automatically, but if you don't know, and somebody goes, oh, what does aloha mean? They go, oh, it means love, hi, goodbye, you know what I mean? And so you see those two things. And so we have to teach our youth to go with the, it is our alo, it is our, it is here, this is aloha, we come from, this is where it comes from. And so it's a challenge for them to practice it here, because it can often be lost. With the different, if they're not surrounded by it, it's not a constant reminder. It can be, and it's not just the youth, it gets lost amongst our adults as well. That concept on what aloha is. And when you walk around, you're like, hey, brother, aloha. What does that mean to you? Over here, when they walk around, be like, oh, aloha. It's because I'm from Hawaii. I'm from Hawaii. What does that mean? Like, is that what aloha is? So teaching the youth that, like walking around and just being, hey, aloha, that's not aloha. I said, when I see you folks in a space where kupuna or elders walk into a room and you get off your chair, that's aloha. When you are walking into a space and elders are behind you, you open the door and you stand to the side, you let them go in first. That's aloha. When we add a pot, you going to take your plates and you, oh, auntie, you pa, oh, uncle, and you grab, that's all aloha. And those are the kinds of things that we grew up with, right? It's not very common here. So our youth are learning it in these small pockets, right? In halau or in ohana, like those are the only small pockets, yeah? at home, we're fortunate that different places have that practice. And so it's a long answer. Excuse me. I went like all over the place with the answer, but you know, for our youth, it's definitely, it's a challenge, but it's so beautiful to start to see them really owning it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the conversation that we had with your OPO. That was it's always wonderful to hear their perspectives. And because Ohepua over here, Namakiki, I don't naturally come into those spaces. So whenever I have opportunities to hear from the Kiki of our community, I love hearing, especially the ones here on the continent in the diaspora, like the unique challenges that they face, especially when you don't live, as you mentioned, you don't live amongst aloha. So like, do I give aloha? Like they can, or do I reflect back? Because it is the reflection, right? So if you're not in a space where you get aloha, then that ugly stuff can start to occupy you too, if you, you know, you're not guarded against that. But yeah, wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit more about how aloha has evolved in the context of tourism, commercialization, cultural appropriation, all of those things that it can be ugly. And the first situation that always comes to mind was the big aloha poke thing that happened. I think it was like 2018. And that was when, I can't remember the guy's name, but he had essentially said that he had trademarked the word aloha and, you know, had ordered these businesses to remove it out of their products. And for, as a kanaka, and not even like one who is like, well, I'm not going to say that. I'm doing the things that I said you shouldn't do, like measuring your kanaka. But as a kanaka, I'm like, that is so wrong. Like, you cannot just kapu aloha, right? Like, not in that way, right? Telling people that they cannot use their language as part of their identity. It's part of our cultural values. So that led into protests, and it's a widespread movement. When I just read an article that didn't realize Lani Aloha Lee in Chicago, who was actually one of the speakers at the conference in Vegas, was one of the community leaders leading from Chicago to go up against this. So I guess, what is the question I'm saying? What are you all's thoughts when you encounter companies, businesses that leverage our olelo, so like our words, for profit? Because a lot of them don't even have connection back to the piko. They're simply using it, like you said, to feel culture, to feel, you know, like make themselves like they're special. What are you guys' thoughts on that and that use of aloha?
I think it's, I haven't quite had the opportunity to really address anybody on it, but there is a particular company that when I see the name, I'm like, really? You know, and it becomes a fad because here in the islands, you know, for what I see here, it's, to me, it looks like a fad. I don't know, but on another hand, I don't necessarily know, you know, the creators of this particular business and who they are, where they come from, and so forth. But it kind of does irritate me, even as simple as grass skirts, you know, and that representation, and people then want to make it a whole, you know, luau. And I get the fun, the parts, those parts, but now you become a costume.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's over appropriated, you know. So yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say on it, but it definitely does kind of rub me the wrong way at times.
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole grass skirt thing was definitely something that I think it was Ilima McFarlane. Yeah, she talked about that at the conference in Vegas too, because there was somebody outside. So it was in Vegas in a casino, and there was somebody outside that was, I can't remember what the table was, but it was a whole lot of cultural appropriation stuff. And it was right by a registration table. So she had to go over there and kind of like educate, you know, the girl who was working at the table and explain to her why why that was inappropriate, you know? And she said she came back later on and she had removed her stuff. So, yeah.
And that's great that, sorry, that's great that she, am I still muted or can you hear me?
No, yeah, I can hear you. Okay.
I'm great. I'm glad she took that opportunity to educate, you know, these people. And then it refers back to the moment and the time, yeah, on when we utilize aloha and how we utilize it. You know, you can be upset about it, but at the same time, you can utilize that as a teachable moment. And with all your humility and glory, you can, you know, you can share intellectually with those people how to properly honor and what the significance is behind that particular mea, particular thing.
Yeah. Pawahi's in the comments and she's talking about how it's a microaggression and how the plastic lays and all of that stuff is so annoying. I'm sorry. Hopefully I'm saying this name right. Anchila was talking about the cellophane grass skirts, which to me is even worse than the raffia grass skirts. And then when you see them in like Halloween costume, you know, like, oh, hula girl or whatever. Oh, that drives me insane. Let's see. And then, oh yeah, Lealoha, what are your thoughts? Because I'm sure you have some too from the diaspora perspective.
Very similar to Komaka. It's irritating, but we have to, it's the same thing. We have to, we can be upset or we can use it as a teachable moment, right? It's an opportunity. I think all of those are opportunities for us to educate. It takes a minute. We got to collect ourselves because when we first see it, we got to collect ourselves because at first we like be like, brah, but we have to collect our aloha and navigate with aloha. You know, it's interesting because here, and this is, I think this is everywhere, but you can always tell what I've noticed is like different Hawaii restaurants or Hawaii people who open up food restaurants here, they have a different inoa. Like maybe it's from where they're from or it's their own inoa or something like that. But the restaurants or the food places that use like aloha in their name are not from Hawaii. And their mea'ai is a little bit different. They have fusion. The mea'ai is fusion. And I don't understand the fusion. Like, you know, I went to a place and it called my the mea'ai was in Maikai. It was Maikai. But I went to a place and my mac salad was decorated. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I've never been to a place where the mac salad was decorated. Or like, you know, you get your plate and then the food is all stacked up like in these fancy ways. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're trying to streamline our Hawaiian food, which makes it fusion. And then you can put aloha. And then there, it's Hawaii. It's Hawaiian because they used aloha. And then it's those moments, the teachable moments. And so it's funny because when I'm with my ohana and they see it, they already know. They're like, oh, no. Oh, no. What is she going to do? And so we bask. And we went to this. There's a restaurant here in Portland. And I'm going to put them on blast because I have, if I can, I call it my Portland City Grill. Beautiful restaurant. Beautiful views, beautiful, 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 beautiful. And they have some fusion food with some Hawaiian food. Well, a bunch of Hawaii people, the waiter's taking our order, and they asked us if we would like some pork. And they had aloha pork, spicy pork, and then a traditional pork. And it was just really rough for me because I had to collect myself and all of them are looking at me like, oh, le aloha, don't do what you do. And I was like, I'm going to have to. Because this poor waiter, poor thing, he didn't know, right? And he's going all day asking everybody if they want pork. You know what I mean? It's just not okay. So then I go, oh, brother. So the word is poke. And he was like, what? And I was like, are you guys serving poke? And he was like, yeah, it's a Hawaiian dish. And I was like, yeah, it's poke, not pork. You don't want to ask people if they want spicy pork or traditional. We poke is the word. And he had been saying that for weeks and nobody had corrected him. And I was like, well, but that's why it's like those moments, like we could have just laughed it off and just let him continue. But I was like, no, we got to teach him. And aloha pork, I was like, come on, like, let's fix that. But, you know, the restaurant did fix it. So it was a teachable moment. We get those opportunities. And we have a lot of that here in Portland. Opportunities to do that. And just kind of, so, and you know, it's interesting because I'll be in different conversations at Poi Hawaii. And they'll be like, oh, they're so mad. And we can do all the names. And it's always like, yeah, but what did you do to make it right? What, and that's the aloha part, right? Like what we've learned here on the continent, and this is, or everywhere around the world, the systems fail us. The education system fails us. The education system here, they don't teach the poe here about Hawaii. It's just about the 58th state. So at the end of the day, the ignorance that we get frustrated with is a lack of education. And I think if we come to that space with aloha and we recognize that, instead of being upset, let's use this opportunity to educate. So yeah, we could go on and on about this.
I love that. May I add something in there too? Because
it's
in there. So you know, it takes a specific individual to, you'll hear that often. Yeah. It takes a specific individual to want to get gutsy and just do it. So I guess I would kind of ask the question too, is because we're such humble individuals, right? We've been learned to be ha-ha. And when it comes to our particular teachings, you know, sometimes we refrain from making the correction because, oh, my kumu is not your kumu, you know, your kumu or that ike or the kupuna and so forth. Yeah. So how would you take that example and, you know, encourage others to really find that place in breaking free of, or knowing that it's okay. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but knowing that it's okay in those particular moments.
Oh, can you know?
Yeah, like
anyway,
especially in living in the States as well. I'm sure it's the perfect opportunity, but I know some people might be a little bit shy because, like I said, right, their teachers are different. So
it is pa'akihi, especially because like it took a lot. I wasn't like this when I first came up here. I was upset. And I thought everybody was just not my kai. And I had all kinds of different names, right? And I think it takes time for us to be okay with that. And it is true. It's our kumu. It's the ike of our kumu. And I think because still having the opportunity to vala'au with the many kumu that I've had, I think that's what also allows for me to have the encouragement to offer the share, to be able to share. And that's the mentorship, right? That piece that you're seeing is like, who's our mentors? Always being in connection with them, because the other part that we've been seeing, right? This ike is not just for us. It's not just ours. And so it does take a little bit, like, you know, I might not expect, yeah, I see a lot of our young ones come up here for Kula Nui, right? They come up here for Kula Nui, and we do some workshops at the Kula Nui, and they're very upset. And I remember that because I was like that. But it's going to come with time. It's going to come with mentorship for us to be okay, to elevate the of our kumu, and to, I think, humble ourselves in this space. Because even on the continent, I think many Poi Hawaii could really embrace ha'aha a lot more than we do. And I think it's at that time when we can embrace the ha'aha, I think we can come into a place of having conversations that are educational and positive. And I think the thing too, the humbleness and the humility and the aloha part for us is that we have to always be in that space carrying our kumu with us. Always carrying our kumu with us and knowing that these words that I'm going to say, I have to remember that if somebody says something, my kumu going to find out. And they're going. They always find out those kumu, our kupuna, our tutus. You don't even know. They come left field, man. And they find out. So I think it's that practice. It's what you were saying earlier too. It's the practice. It's not just saying we live it. Do you practice it? Is it something you practice? So yeah.
Love it. And I, you know, add to that by saying that aloha does live on distant lands because our people are travelers. And where we go, that's where the aloha going to be. Right? So that's that perfect opportunity to put that practices into action.
Yep. I can't remember who I was talking to, but essentially they were saying like, yeah, if you want to visit Hawaii, if you know somebody Hawaiian, then you visited Hawaii. Like, because Hawaii goes with the Hawaiians who move wherever we are, right? Like if you know a Hawaiian, you know Hawaii. And it is true. And I've always known that, but I feel like the more we have these conversations, it sinks into the na'au more deeply, you know, like, and it becomes to take on a deeper meaning, and it helps you actually to have the ha'a ha'a, to have these more difficult educational conversations with people to help them truly understand like what it means to be Hawaii. I know for me too, like one of the most irritating ones, and I'm sure this is common across our entire community, is our association with pineapple, right? Like pineapple pizza, pineapple whatever, and the bala is Hawaiian, automatic, guarantee, charge $15 and don't keep going. But like, but when I tell people like, okay, pineapple could, like when you're in Kanaka spaces, it is probably the farthest thing from aloha. If you understand our history of the plantations and like the Dole pineapple and that history of that family's ties into the missionaries that overthrew our government, all of that stuff. And that just, I take them down the rabbit hole of that. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, well then, yeah, I would see totally how that is offensive to people to call it Hawaiian, because it's the total opposite of what it should be, right? And it opens up additional conversations for them to want to learn more, because to the points that you both have made, like the education system does fail us. And I would say not even just here on the continent, like even at home, like when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of talk about anything. Like there wasn't even Hawaiian history. And to me, that's a huge failure. And maybe it's because it's public school. I don't know. But we, in our Hawaiian history class, like I remember we only had one, but there's tons of classes about American history, right? And so, you know, that whole piece is like, okay, I'm in Hawaii, but nobody is teaching about our own history, right? Like, and so that was always something that made me think as a kid, like, oh, something wrong with this picture. I don't know. I'm not smart enough yet because I'm still young. I'm still a young whippersnapper over there. But I just knew in my na'au something wasn't right. So yeah, I think it is part of our kuleana and part of our aloha to help educate people. And not just as kanaka, but aloha is a universal concept that if we can all embrace and understand, it would help us like just have such more better relationships amongst ourselves, cross-cultural communication. I know Kamaka Kehao, like you're a big advocate for that. And that comes naturally to us in Hawaii because, I mean, we're a mixture of cultures and we have that, because we have that aloha is how, it is what, a big part of what makes Hawaii special. And so anyway, I don't know why I got on my soapbox about that, but like, I just feel like it is something that is not just unique to Hawaii. If people can embrace this concept and not just embrace it, practice it, like we said, make it a part of your existence, brah. I mean, we would be elevating everybody. and just the universal understanding would be so much better.
Yeah.
Come on. Absolutely.
It's super important. You know, that's kind of on my journey. I've made it a mission for me to, it's because of Hawaiian culture that I became inspired to even want to know a little bit more about my own. And so now I'm on that journey to bridge. And really, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of history, you know, being Kanaka Pa'ele, being Kanaka, as the common term out here is Pōpolo, you know, that it's medicinal. Okay. It's medicinal. And depending on where your Ike might be, right? Some people might take offense to it and some people may not, right? But it's learning about it and connecting, bridging. That's the big mission that I'm on, is about bridging, connecting so that we can gain more honor and respect. And I really do feel that as far as Hawaiian culture is concerned, I mean, it definitely has come, it's definitely on the rise. I mean, there's been so much, you know, moments that have been put out there. I mean, even simple stuff like the banks and being, you know, people starting to write their checks in Hawaiian and a lot of that. So it's a wonderful thing, but I think just lifting up all the culture and bringing that forth and walking in your full form of who you are is a beautiful thing.
Ew. All righty. That's, I love being Hawaiian. That's all I got to say. I'm so honored to be Hawaiian and to represent our people and carry our aloha and our kuleana and our kupuna with us wherever we go, despite all of the challenges that our community faces. We still rise together, and I just really love that. So yeah, just like that, the hour has passed, and you know, I want to be respectful of everybody's time. So wanna mahalo both of you for being a part of tonight's conversation. Mahalo to everybody who has joined us tonight and engaged with us in the comments. J-Man, aloha. You say you're the queen of aloha. You're hilarious. I'm just trying to bring the aloha in my own little part of this universe. So yeah, aloha, mahalo, J-Man, mahalo, Pauahi, and Chila. And again, I'm so sorry if I'm butchering your name. It is with aloha that I recognize you. And so, you know, check out Kamaka Kehao's music. He's off to a gig right now, entertaining our wonderful Malihini and locals, Kama'ainas, Hawaii'is, all of it. That we want to make sure he gets to his gig on time. And Lea Aloha, who is perpetuating our culture in Oregon as a kumu and helping to build our youth to be confident leaders in the future. Mahalo nui for the work that you do as well. And of course, mahala nui to Papa Ola Lokahi for helping us to keep this platform going, to support, advocate kako'o, our efforts to amplify our community's voices, as well as the other indigenous communities that we are in allyship. So it's not just about Kanaka, it is about all of us together and you know, manifesting aloha in that way. So mahalo nui. So with that said, we're going to say ohui ho. Join us at 8:30. If you guys are still looking for content tonight, we're talking about how to negotiate your salary. So making sure that you get what you're worth. Like we all need this one. Yeah. Especially now with this like crazy inflation, you know, people need to be paying us what we're worth, especially when it comes to representing our culture. And as Pacific Islanders rise, like they need to recognize our mana'o, our ike, and the value that we bring to that too. So join us for that. And then next week we're doing ohana, which is another one of my favorite concepts of being Hawaiian. So mahalo nui le aloha, mahalo nui kamaka ke hao. Always a pleasure to be with you all. We will see you soon. And thank you everybody for joining. Aloha mai, ahui ho.
Ahui ho, mahalo.
Aloha, ahui ho. Thank you.
So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If they won't tell it, we will.
If this the land of the free, was a freedom then. When they annexed Hawaii and called it Cedar Lands, without any type of payment and no signing off, called themselves the Republic in 1894. 1.2 million acres overtaken from the native Hawaiians. When they resisted, the West retaliated in violence and erasure. The Hawaiian language is banned as part of colonialism's plan to expand, yeah.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place, multiple bombings of Koholave, as a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation, colonizers call for annexation. No work for all the locals, school will never let you know. So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. We will.
So if we put Hawaii into perspective, well, Black and Asian history is interconnected. Considering the fight with the Pacific, then of course, versus Asia, they was treated as a middleman for war. But didn't let the Western colorism run its course, cause dark skin was a sign of dignity to core. The land was taken in the name of capitalism, when prior to it was an actual kingdom. Clap back at the system.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place, multiple bombings of Koholave, as a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation, colonizers call for annexation. No work out for all the locals, school will never let you know. So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. We will.